Everybody, let's go ahead and get started. If you would please join me and stand. Grab a hymnal and turn to page number 28 this morning. Page number 28. There shall be showers of blessing on the first. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. Brother Bill Hassel, would you open us up in prayer? Amen. Please remain standing and turn to page number 13. Page 13, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Page number 13, I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves. Jesus, all of my troubles, He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone on the last. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear. Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. You may be seated.
Does anybody have a testimony this morning before we get started? Yes, ma'am. Another baby girl. Cool. And what is her name, the another baby girl? Laura Bell. That's a great name. Well, Sarah, you doing good? That's Laura Bell? Cool. Well, congratulations. I already congratulated Nolan on another sister. And he was... So, there's going to... Let's see. So she was Laura Bell. Can I tell... I got the particulars here. Is that okay? Baby girl, Laura Bell, born Thursday, March 8th at 5:46 p.m. 6 pounds, 1 ounce, 18 and a half inches long. And also in the nursery down there on the little counter, there's a diaper shower. And it's a basket down there to buy diapers or whatever for Laura Bell and that to help the family out. And so that's down in the nursery. And I'll put it in the bulletin next week. How am I going to remember to do that? I'll slip this in here, and then that way when I forget to bring the bulletin in the office, I'll forget everything. See, that's how we roll. All right. Well, congratulations. And we got another testimony here.
Can we take up a whole pew? Do we get wrecked
there? Oh, that's great. Someone else have a testimony this morning? All right, we'll move on with announcements here. We got looking at our bulletin here. Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, the Lord's table. And I can't stress enough the Lord's table. That's the one, you know, we're not commanded necessarily to meet on Sunday mornings. We're not commanded to meet on Wednesdays. We're not commanded to meet at any, there's one time we're commanded to meet as a church by the Lord. And that's to remember the death and the burial and the resurrection. But more specifically, the burial, the death. His blood that he shed for us and his body that was nailed to a tree. And so we as a church are commanded to remember his death until he come. And so I once again want to stress as a church, we really need to be here to be obedient unto the Lord at the Lord's table. So there will be no Wednesday service that week of March, but March 27th is Tuesday evening, Lord's table. April 1st is Sunday, the Easter service. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on that Sunday. The following Sunday, the 8th, there'll be a potluck and there'll be no evening service then either. And then, of course, we got May 2nd. We got a church planter visiting us. And May 6th, the Lord didn't command this, but we need to be here Sunday evening, May 6th. We are going to amend our bylaws and we need 75%. And I don't want anyone getting angry with me, but I'm probably going to end up call and leave a message or something just to remind. I'm not trying to put anybody under the thumb, but I just want to remind everybody that how important it is to be here that Sunday evening for the business meeting. May 7th and 8th, we'll have a sign up here in a couple weeks go around for the, we're hosting the Baptist Fellowship. I have asked a gentleman to speak on Tuesday evening if you at all can make it on Monday evening, the 7th. He's the gentleman in Coeur d'Alene who broke his neck. And then next week he was in the house with his family and the house started a fire. And he couldn't do anything. He couldn't lift over 10 pounds. All he could do is walk out and watch the house burn. And I think the following day is when his wife was diagnosed with cancer. And so I've asked him to speak. And I know I can learn from his experience and his family's experience. So that's May 7th and 8th. We'll have a sign-up sheet going. We'll probably cater the chicken and the lasagna, but we'll have people bring salads and desserts. So, and I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. That sunshine makes a difference, doesn't it? We look alive this morning. Amen. Thank you.
Please join me in stand and turn to page number 157. 157, faith is the victory. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. Page 157.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
All right, we'll sing that second verse. When you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake on the second.
His banner over us, his love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph run. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield.
Find your place. Show me the last verse of page 157. Faith is the victory on the last.
To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our heart with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night. In Jesus
the timer, but she has a blessing on her offering.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the blessings you've bestowed on us in the forms of our jobs and the monies that we put in the offering. Pray that they go far, and I pray that they remember our faith promise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless. bless you this morning. Before Steve comes to sing, Pastor has another announcement to make.
I forgot to mention Faith Promise. Last week we took Faith Promise. These pledge cards are at the back on the sound booth. If you were not able to be here last week, or at least be at the service or whatnot, or not filled out a pledge card, they're at the back there. Our budget for missions is $98,000 and some, plus or minus. Last week, what was promised was $57,000. In fact, it's on our $57,402. And as of Wednesday, that figure's gone to $81,000. See how good God is. Ye have little faith here, you know. And my faith is getting stronger and stronger every year. God is just so good. Anyways, I thought I'd pass that on, and that those pledge cards are available, because we'll be doing our budget for our May business meeting for missions. So thank you very much.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal who returns. Oh, God, my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed in his blood. I'm no stranger to prison. I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. I ain't going back. I'll never be the same. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by his blood. There's a sin that breaks a man, breaks him down to his knees. I've been broken a time or two, but Lord, you lift me up. Lord, you set me free. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by his blood. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed in his blood.
Thank you, Steve.
Better pass this around. It's a church sign-up for the potluck. We'll start on this side today. Thank you, Steve. You know, another gentleman and I were talking real quick about the coordination of these songs and messages and things, and we don't do any of that. We let the Lord coordinate. He's the best coordinator, and you'll see this message this morning. God knows what he's doing. If you would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans written by Paul. Verse 18, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." And all our hope is where? In Jesus. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or in other words, the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. First of all, and I just want to say this, we'll pray at the end of this introduction. It's going to be a fairly long introduction, but I want everybody to be able to concentrate on the message and what's being spoken, rather than wondering, I wonder if Pastor's going to pray. So it's going to be a fairly long introduction. First of all, we see in verse 18, we see, for I reckon. Reckon means to estimate, or Paul's conclusion here, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I think everyone here has in some way or another, at some time or another, to some degree or another, have suffered, whether it be persecution, whether it be sickness or affliction or some kind of trial and testing, none of us are immune to these things. In fact, that's the title of the message. We are not immune. Every one of us have suffered, are suffering, or will suffer in one way, shape, or form. But Paul says here, the comparison, but none of those at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory is a splendor. And none of it can be compared, none of our sufferings can even remotely be compared to the glory, the splendor that God has prepared for us in heaven for eternity, for eternity. We see the comparison. We've seen the comparison. Now the expectation, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Earnest here means the eager expectation or hope. And notice here of the creature. The word creature here means creation. The whole creation is waiting with expectation for that which is going to have the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, when God sees fit to bring us back with Him in new and glorified bodies, where there's going to be a new heaven and new earth, a whole new deal. And why would creation wait with an earnest expectation? Because of the entrance of sin in Genesis chapter 3. With the entrance of sin, the ground was cursed. It says, the ground was cursed for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat it all the days of thy life. God says to Adam, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And not only the entrance of sin, but continued sin that produced the flood. And God made a covenant with Noah. He said, while the earth remain, the seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day shall not cease. We're going to have the four seasons now, God says. Remember, before that, the earth was watered with a mist. The climate was stable. It was utopia, the climate at that time. And now the creature or the whole creation is subject to harsh conditions of the four seasons. You see, driving up to Sealy Swan, you see the whitetail out on the road trying to eat salt and get hit. They groaneth. They're waiting where they don't have to starve or look for salt on the highway. Not only the four seasons, but also the carnivore was born. Now animals will eat flesh. And if you've ever heard a rabbit or something that's been killed by a bird, or being killed by a bird, or with a fox or something, boy, they make the worst, most sickening, heart-wrenching racket that you ever did hear. Creation is waiting for that day when all things will become new. Where the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. This is all in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 8. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play in the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. The whole creation is waiting for that time. We see this creation in verse 20 of Romans chapter 8. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same of hope. Vanity here means frail. We know how tenuous life is. We know how frail life is, really. Every one of us are one heartbeat away from eternity. We're one half second away from tragedy on the highway. Especially if you're driving from here to Townsend. Man, and people are crazy. It's a good thing they got a wide shoulder. But they got to Townsend Seed 5 seconds ahead of me. That's all that counts. Anyway, but I'm not bitter. No, yeah. You say. It was made subject to vanity. Creation is frail. That rabbit never asked for it. Them deer and the sealy swan never asked for this. They're just put here. But God has a reason. What's the reason here in verse 20? They were not willing that this would happen, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. That's that expectation. Verse 21, the awaited salvation, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Salvation means, to be saved means to be delivered, of course. And the bondage of corruption, the effects and the consequences of sin, all this stuff happened to the creation that they never asked for. They're starved, they're cold, they're getting killed, they're getting eaten. Hey, things ain't easy out there in the hills. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Free from the penalty, the power, and the effects from the presence of sin. We see the suffering in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Travaileth speaks of labor pains. Labor pains before that blessing comes. Sarah knows all about it. There's the blessing there, Laura Bell. And the whole creation is travailing in pain, waiting for that blessing that comes. And that is the new condition on this earth when Christ returns. The whole creation groaneth. Verse 23, and not only they, the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. The first fruits of the Spirit is a down payment. It's the down payment of the redemption of our body. The down payment is the indwelling Spirit that dwells in us. If you direct your attention to verse 9 of Romans 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you. Verse 11, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And that is the down payment. That's just a glimpse of what eternity is going to be. Because, hello, this body here is not redeemed. God did not redeem or buy back or rescue our body from loss yet. He rescued our soul. And He rescued our soul because we put our faith in Him, realizing that we were sinners and that there was a penalty for sin, and that's the wrath of God in hell for eternity. And we go, man, oh man, I'm a sinner. And God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we called upon the name of the Lord. We didn't have to go to church. We didn't have to get baptized. We didn't have to tithe. We didn't have to do anything. We simply, by faith, called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, please, Jesus, save me from my sin. Oh, please, Jesus, forgive me. And you know what happened? He forgave me. He saved me. And He saved my soul. But my body is still here. It's still corruptible. It's still subject to decay. My flesh is still subject to sin. It's the earnest, it's the down payment. When you want something in Great Falls, you send a earnest money in an envelope that they might keep it. And God sent His earnest to live with inside us, and that's the spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead within ourselves. But notice, not only the creation groaneth in verse 22, but and not verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. What in the world does that mean? My old friend Mel, it was mid-90s, and Bill, he's putting on his socks. He's been, and I said, for 95, and I said, how does he do that? And Mel says, I don't know. She says, whenever I put on my socks, I have to do it with sound effects. Even at 53, you're a kid, and you do this, you do that, and you wonder why older people got a hole in their back of their truck. I do now. And you can reach, right? I do now. Used to be able to jump off the tailgate, no problem. Now you, even getting up to, where does that groaning come from? You get out of bed, you put on your shoes, you get up from kneeling. Am I the only one that groans? And where did it come from? Do we mean to groan? Why are you making all that noise? I don't know. I have no idea. It just comes out. You think getting out of bed, you're all rested, but we groan. So once again, the Bible proves itself true. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves. Waiting. Waiting. Waiting for the adoption. In other words, to wit, the redemption of our body. Won't it be a great time when we don't have to groan anymore? There'll be no aches, pains. All things be made new. We'll have a new and glorious body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, for we were saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Remember, as a Christian, as a believer, we walk by faith and not by sight. Thomas said, nonetheless, I put my hands in the holes and fingers in the holes of the hands and feet of my Lord Jesus Christ, put my hand in His side, will I believe? And when Jesus appeared to Thomas, He said, behold, my hands and my feet. And Thomas didn't reach forth. He simply got on his knees and said, my Lord. And my God. And Jesus says, blessed them that, more blessed be they that see not and yet believe. And in our sorry state, sometimes as a believer, God elevates us above Thomas because we have not yet seen and yet believe. Look at our intercessor here in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that's our weaknesses, our sicknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Sometimes it's hard to know what to pray for. It's easy sometimes to say, oh, not my will, but thine will be done, Lord. Whatever the will of the Lord is, that's all I'm praying for. That's a lot easier said to be done sometimes because it may include pain. It may include suffering. It may include things that we're not ready for, that we never dreamed we'd be in the middle of. And sometimes we don't know what to pray for. But isn't it wonderful to know in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. He's the go-between for us. And here's the third groanings here, with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, the Holy Spirit groans. You know why? Because He cares about us. He loves you. Even though you're going through some hard, terrible times, He loves you. And you're not without an intercessor. You're not without someone who doesn't care. You're not without hope. You're not without comfort. We go through troubles. We go through groanings, we go through sufferings, we go through sickness. All these tests. Why? Why? Sometimes it's not for us to know. God is sovereign, and we may ask Him, but He doesn't answer to us. Our God is sovereign. Some of the reasons we go through these tests is for the benefit of others, these trials. We used to go to the gun dog trials with our dog, and when you have a trial, there's all kinds of different tests the dog goes through. But it's not just me and the dog. There's judges. There's spectators. And the dog goes through these tests. And sometimes when we're in trials, we're doing it, God allows us to go through those trials for the benefit of others, because others are watching us in our trials. Others are going to judge us on our trials. Blessed be the God, even our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. God equips us to be able to comfort them, which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted as of God. We, every one of us, faithful Christian, sort of faithful Christian, believer, non-believer, young or old, male or female, poor or rich, win, lose, or draw, none of us are immune to trials. Sickness, weaknesses, affirmities, tragedies, none of us are immune. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we ask, Lord, that You please forgive us of our sins, clear our minds, clear our hearts, and I pray that this short message be a blessing. How can it not be a blessing? It's from your word, Lord. Dear God, I pray that we look to you for our hope. We don't get bitter, but we get better. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for the peace that you afford. We'll never be able to thank you enough. In the name of Jesus, amen. This came from Seattle News, King 5, February, in the middle of February. Televangelist Gloria Copeland says, "You do not need the flu shot if you have Jesus." Televangelist says, "You don't need the flu shot if you have Jesus." A popular televangelist in North Texas is turning heads after she said there is no flu. The U.S. is facing one of the deadliest flu seasons in recent years. In North Texas alone, more than 90 people have died. But Gloria Copeland, wife of Pastor Kenneth Copeland, spoke to more than 1 million followers about the flu through her husband's ministry page on Facebook at the end of January. In the video, Gloria Copeland, who sat on the Donald Trump's campaign evangelical executive board, said, "Listen, partners, we do not have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season, but we do not have a flu season," she says. The video continues with Gloria Copeland saying that Jesus is a form of the flu shot, and Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of the flu. She said, "We've already had our shot. He bore our sickness and carried our diseases, and that's what we stand on." Gloria Copeland also had some advice for those who haven't caught the flu. "That's great. That's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu," she said. Hey, I'm here to say none of us are immune to the flu. Yeah. Huh? I won't ask for a raise of hands, but we know Jesus is our Savior. We know He did carry our sorrows. He did bear our pains. And we know that the Bible says, "By His stripes ye were healed." But that verse has to do with sin. None of us are immune to the flu. None of us are immune to cancer. None of us are immune to kidney disease. None of us are immune to have our house burning down. None of us are immune to a broken neck. None of us are immune to any unexpected tragedies, unwelcome situations or circumstances, any unforeseen things that come our way. None of us are immune to this thing called L-I-F-E. That's such a wonderful word, but it can be harrowing, can't it? This thing called life. They're talking about, speaking of unexpected tragedies, they're talking about how to prevent school shootings. There's only one way to prevent school shootings, and that's to cancel all public schools. We cannot control human beings. We can better our response, but we can't prevent school shootings. I say the best response is to kill the bad guy as soon as possible in the middle of a shooting. But we're kidding ourselves if we say we can prevent school shootings, because there are people out there who are nuts. There are people out there who do not care about the lives of others. We're not immune to this kind of affliction. We're not immune to tragedies. We're not immune to these uninvited trials. And none of us, can I say another thing, are immune to death. The headlines what was Tutu's right-hand man, Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, what is he, 97? died. World shocked. We shouldn't be shocked. Okay? None of us are immune to death. That's why Jesus Christ came to die for us, so that we would have eternal life. If there was any of us immune to death, Jesus Christ would not have had to die. And I'm not trying to make light of death or try to be insensitive. But none of us are immune to death. None of us are immune to have someone who we are close to and love very much of dying. We're not immune to that. We're not without immunity to affliction, sickness, diseases, or death, unwelcome conditions, situations, or distresses, uninvited trials or circumstances, unexpected tragedies. We're not immune to that, but we are not without hope. Because my hope lies in nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. All my hope, Brother Steve, is in Jesus. And we are not without comfort. The Holy Spirit comforts us that we might comfort others. We are immune as believers to sin, the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ took our penalty on the cross. So we're immune to the penalty of sin. If you know Christ as your Savior, Jesus, we're going to be celebrating the Resurrection Sunday, but Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we might live. And He took the sin of the world. God placed the sin of the world on His shoulders, and He died in our place, a vicarious death. And He died on died in our place as a substitutionary death. He died on our behalf also. He took all our sins away, and He only asks to make that applicable in your life is to trust Him. Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here this morning, you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can know that heaven is your home. Know all these things are written that you know you have eternal life. There'll be an invitation at the end of the service. Don't hesitate. Someone, if not me, someone will show you in the Bible. You can know heaven is your home. And you can walk out of here with spring in your step and a twinkle in your eye and thankfulness, gratefulness that you've never had before, knowing that Jesus took your sin away and that you have a home in heaven. Let's turn to hold our place here. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, excuse me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he says, "To everything there is a season, a time for to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace." That's life. What will we do when life hands us calamity and we end up in hot water. Will we be as a carrot who right now, before we end up in hot water, stands firm and then subject to that hot water for a period of time and come out soft, mushy, flimsy, weak? What about an egg? Soft and tender and malleable. And we end up in hot water for a period of time and we come out hardened. You know what? You peel that egg and it stinks. What about coffee? Put coffee in hot water for a period of time and it's a wonderful aroma to those around us. God wants us to be coffee. God wants us to drink coffee. I'm just trying to build points here. How will we respond? How have we responded? Remember, trials, just like the trials, people are observing. And God... will in our lives may be a trial for the benefit of someone else. And we can be a sweet aroma. We can be that inviting, hello, inviting aroma to someone because God's put us in hot water for a period of time. How will we respond? With hope, peace, and gratefulness? Or will we be depressed and anxious and have bitterness toward others and toward God? I hope not. I hope we can be like that coffee. So you know, we read here in Romans chapter 8 that we're not without hope. And we're not only without hope, but we're not only without comfort. But also, please look at verse 35. We are not this morning without promise. Verse 35, of Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For Paul says, I am not persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, hello, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to have an invitation here, and I want to reiterate, we are not immune to life. We are not immune to those things that happen in life. And as the creation groans, we groan. We're looking forward to that day that Jesus Christ comes back again. And praise God, we've got a Savior who loves us, who comforts us, and gives us ultimate victory. Remember we read that verse, nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He gives us victory. He gives us hope. No matter what life throws at us, we have hope. It's what the whole world is searching for today. We got it. But the whole world is watching how we respond to life. And it's only because of our unwavering faith in God that loved us, died for us, rose again. Yay, he's coming again. It's only because of our faith in him we can say without hesitation that my hope lies in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Let's stand. If you got something to take care of this morning, get her taken care of. If you don't know that heaven is your home, please come forward. Someone will show you in the Bible how you can know you have eternal life. Maybe you want to come forward this morning and just praise God and thank Him for bringing us through this, bringing you through the storm. Maybe you want to come this morning, you're going through some hard times in life, and ask God to give you the comfort, the peace, the strength, and the hope that you need this morning. 401 this morning, 401. Doubt enough how great our God is. Wow. Thank you for being here. This evening we'll go through Proverbs, and then we're going to start the book of Judges. And so I'd like to invite you tonight. Brother Steve Schultz, would you close us in prayer? Amen. Thanks so much.